Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show, presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined by faithful co-host Josh Hart in a new time slot, 6 p.m. on Monday.
6 p.m. Monday.
How are you feeling?
Pretty good. Good weekend. Nice in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Sun was shining.
Yep.
Sun was shining on the Raptors. Two wins.
Buddy.
Neither were very competitive or good TV, but hell yeah, dude.
I got to say, my mood entering Sunday's game against the Pacers, I kind of almost forgot there was a game. Went to the game in a t-shirt and a jacket. And wasn't that excited, but goddamn, they found a way to entertain you every single game. I was enthralled by the end.
Yeah, it got more, like, how ridiculous can this game get? Capped off by Matt Thomas going, what, 17 points in the fourth quarter?
So, okay, but here's the thing. I asked Ben this earlier. I asked somebody in the office earlier. How many Raptors have scored 17 points in a quarter? You got to be up for some great company.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good stats and info request.
Yeah, there you go. maybe we could have looked it up before this, but
who needs it? It's Monday.
It's Monday, yeah. So the energy's a little bit different. Hopefully we still have the same vibes as Friday afternoon. But
I think
the
slander writes itself.
Yeah, it really does. yesterday's game was great. Only in the sense that, I almost regret doing the slander pod only in the sense that, like, I felt like it wasn't enough credit given to the Raptors. Because, like, that was an example of 15 guys coming in with, like, a full mind to just do work and just executing from start to finish.
Yeah,
and I was very
also
proud of them for coming away with, like, that's how you win 46 points. Like, every single quarter, you come in, your guys come in, they play well, and they dominate.
We should also be, there should be some congratulations to the bars, restaurants, nightclubs that entertained these Pacers on Saturday night in Toronto. They, as much as, O'Shea Brissett contributed to that win yesterday night.
Oh, yeah, listen. the Toronto nightlife thing is, it's definitely a thing, especially because you brought this up, because I was asking you about the best wins this season, and we've had a couple of them. Utah Jazz, they were up 40 at halftime.
Amazing.
And they held on, obviously, up 40. And then they had a 30-point comeback against the Mavericks as well. That was in the last 14 minutes of the game. The 30-point comeback, incredible. And as you pointed out, those two games were also on Sundays.
Hey, Toronto, hell of a city.
Yeah, man.
We as a city come together behind this team. We still co-wine and dine the opposing teams to help take them down. And
definitely be some whining.
Yeah, definitely some whining.
Yeah,
and some dining.
We're not talking Mario either. Okay. Anyway.
It's been awesome. It's those Sunday night games. I don't know. It's fun to see the Raptors delivering entertaining games against whatever competition on Sunday nights, which have for many franchises been sort of a highlighted matchup, and the Raptors have been awesome.
Yeah, it's too bad we couldn't play the Bucks on a
Sunday night.
But, we're going to play the Bucks tomorrow. That's going to be a very good game, and I'm anticipating a lot of calls about this upcoming Bucks game, including on line one. We got Kevin in Toronto.
Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Is this William and Josh?
Yes.
Correct.
William, I've been listening to you since, like, your days at Raptors Republic.
Yeah.
And,
Thank you.
I remember, like, one game you, like right after, I think it was against Phoenix, Patrick Patterson.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember that guy, but,
Who?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
It was, like, 2016, and, like, he injured his knee, and, like, he kind of was, like, never the same. Like,
yeah.
He went from averaging, like, 9-5 to, like, 8-3.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of cost of the championship, but so I just had I think two quick questions about Kyle. Kyle. So I was wondering, do you think when it comes to the postseason, do you think he can be consistent? Because last year he had like 0 points against Orlando in the first game, and then a couple years before that he had like 8 points against like Dellavedova, and he like had his like moments where he has like 30 plus points and drops like 7 threes in a game, but like I don't know if he's going to be able to be consistent, especially now since he's going to have like a bigger role as opposed to last year?
That's a good question. I think we kind of know, though. Like, this is kind of the manner in terms of Kyle scoring is just for a guy who's 6 feet tall. Like, he really needs the right matchups. He really needs the right situations. And he's going to rely a lot on the three-point shot, and that's going to come and go a little bit for him. And so his scoring is just going to vary. Like, he's not like a natural 6 foot eight scorer who's going to come in every single night and give you a consistent 20. Like, it's not that easy for Kyle. The one thing with Kyle's consistency is just like he competes every single time. But yeah, I mean, as a number two scorer, this consistency will come and go. He definitely has great moments for sure. Like, we saw that in last year's playoffs. We saw the highs and we saw the very lows. I don't know. I think that's just kind of the nature of Kyle's game in terms of as a scorer. Josh, what do you think?
I was just looking at the Kyle Lowry's game log from the second half of the run last year. If consistency's, his in wins being a plus seven or better and in losses being at no worse minus 10, I think he'll be fine.
Okay.
I don't think the consistency is going to be a huge issue, especially because the role he has in the offense – this year allows for there to be a lot more variance that you have guys like Norm Powell and OG who are expected to show up and provide real scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a year ago you would expect, one of Norm, OG, even Terrence Davis is probably going to get the opportunities to be asked to put up, 12 to 15 points. And if that means Kyle's going from being a 20-point scorer in the playoffs to a 10-point scorer, I don't think that drop off will be cause for concern. It'll just sort of be, a change in the way the team goes out to win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
OG, I think I remember not last year, but the year before that, he had some pretty good games. Like, remember he had a game time shot versus the Cavs on the road.
Yeah.
Very, very
and,
memorable.
He had some good games against the Wizards. Shoved Markieff Morris a couple times.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Whatever that might he's a free agent now, so he might be playing with him soon, but. I just have one more quick question.
Yep.
Are you concerned about Pascal's late game free throw shooting? Because I think it was the game against the Nets, the Pacers, last year versus the Bucks, even in the All-Star game.
Yep.
He's never hit two in a row, and that is probably the two most important free throws of the game.
Mm.
And I'm getting kind of it's kind of a trend that's growing, and I was wondering if that might change or should it be a concern to most fans.
I mean, I'm not as worried about the free throw shooting. I think he's made two in a row in crunch time at some point. But you know what? I think it's really just goes to the idea that, I do think he gets worn down as the game goes on.
Yep.
And there's this kind of a tendency with Pascal to sort of, come in bursts.
Mm-hmm.
He'll score, 10 points, and then, two, and then two, and then another 10. Really, I'm more concerned about sort of just, what situation is he going to get a shot? In crunch time.
Yeah.
What set plays are we getting him? Which side of the floor? Which area of the floor? Is he facing up? Is he backing down? That's what I'm more concerned about, more than the free throw shooting. Because I think Pascal's a fine free throw shooter. I don't think this is a case of nerves or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this clutch free throw stuff, I've seen Anthony Davis last Sunday night and then yesterday night miss a very clutch free throw time and time again. It's not something that I hold these guys to above and beyond. I think that if you're in the late game free throw situation, it's because other things have gone wrong. And if Pascal is able to score in the clutch and doing what he's good at, then I don't think we'll be looking at him at the free throw line too much. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Have a cool
one. Keep it good work, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for calling in.
Peace.
Appreciate it.
See you.
Yeah, and the other thing with Kyle's variation in scoring, I mean, in previous seasons, I think it was it's a much bigger issue just because they didn't really have other guys who can step up and really provide that scoring.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of that 2016 team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, Kyle could score, DeMar could score, JV could score. Could any other player on that team score?
What year are you talking about?
2016.
Norm Powell, come on. Indiana? That was the one the legend of Norm Powell began. No, of course not.
Who do we have that year? Corey Joseph, Damari Carroll, Patrick Patterson.
Yeah, nobody.
You know what I mean? If Kyle's not scoring, those teams are in trouble. 2017, kind of the same deal. You got Serge, but Serge that year really was not good. 2018, even 2018, still kind of the same thing. And, in more recent iterations of this team, if you look at it this year, I really do believe that Norm you know, given the way he's improved this season,
yep.
can step up as a secondary scorer at times.
Marc Gasol is going to.
Marc can step into that role. Serge can step into that yep. role. Fred can step into that role. Yep. You know, there's just a lot of options there. So
yeah.
even Terrence Davis can occasionally do it. I don't know if in a playoff setting, but I don't know.
It's Terrence Davis is going to shoot the ball.
You he's going to shoot the ball, yeah.
Terrence Davis is going to check in and shoot.
Yeah.
All right.
When McCaw has the flu.
We have on line two a legendary call to the show. Vitaly from Moscow. Vitaly, welcome back to the show.
Can you guys hear that?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
That's me pouring one out for Indiana fans.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Wow.
I had to do it one time for the Pacers fan, man. That was look how they massacred their boy. Oh.
Actually.
Oh.
What's wrong with them?
Like, yeah, what's going on with the Pacers?
What's wrong with them, man?
It was mental, man. They were shook, and I don't like to use that word a lot, but the defensive intensity, those guys were scared.
Mm.
They were thinking about going home. They were done. The 5 minutes into the first quarter, it was game over.
It was 12-1 after 2 minutes.
I woke up this morning, could not believe the score. I didn't watch it live. I was like, you know,
they were giving
things right.
They were giving the Kobe tribute.
They were giving the Kobe 81. Tribute. 81.
Whole points.
Oh, that's good.
81 points total.
Yeah.
And we won by 24 two times almost. we almost hit them with that 48. Josh, you look fresh, man.
Thank you.
Head is looking shiny, man. You're looking like you look like Jamaican Joe Rogan today. I love it.
Oh my god!
Oh my goodness!
Thank
you. I was wondering why you wear the hat, but you gotta show it sometimes.
Yeah, I gotta let him know. I'm proud.
Yeah,
I'm keeping it shiny.
Yeah,
that's it. I love it, guys. It's only been a few days, but I do have another big fraud.
Excellent. Okay,
because
wow.
After I hung up on Friday, I listened in a little bit
before
I went out, and man. I know your show's not the circus, but you had a clown call in. He's from Brooklyn.
Oh yeah, that guy.
And,
oh my god, yeah.
Man, was he hallucinating? Maybe you guys need to do better screening when somebody calls in.
Yeah.
But this guy said. So what was his prediction? He said the Nets would beat the Raptors in five.
He said, I'm not sure how many games, but he definitely said Nets over Raptors. And then he said, and I asked him why, and he said Spencer Dinwiddie.
Caris LeVert hive. Yeah, I didn't really understand where he's coming from. We wanted to, I don't know. I'm glad.
The funniest part, sorry, go ahead.
I do like that he had the courage to say it with his chest, that he really believes in that squad. But, yeah, I don't get it at all.
That's such a clear first-round exit.
That's what you call uninformed blind allegiance, man.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The funniest part, Will, you asked him, you were like, so who's going to guard Siakam? He's like, hey, man, Dorian Prince. Literally, that moment, I almost spit out my vodka. I was dying. this guy said Dorian Prince.
Yeah,
this
it didn't make any sense.
Pascal will put 40 on him with one ankle. This is hilarious. Yeah, so, you know what? It sucks for Kyrie because this is, 3 years in a row? Serious? Maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
I think it's time. Listen, they don't talk about him like he's injury prone. This guy is as injury prone as it gets.
Yeah, he missed most of his year at Duke. Like, he's never been the picture of health.
Yeah, and it's really sad that he had that knee surgery and he got like a serious infection in there somewhere around like the screw that they put into his knee. It sounds real gross, but you know what? It's a shame too, because I know people don't like Kyrie for the personality and stuff like that, but as a pure basketball fan, Kyrie's like amazing to watch.
Like, yeah,
and it's sad that he can't play anymore.
One of the best handles we'll ever see. One of the best. I remember his first year with LeBron in Cleveland. There were games
he put 55 on Kawhi.
Spurs. That was the game I'm thinking of. And I remember thinking, like, this is one of the best, like, layup packages I've ever seen. Like,
amazing.
He could finish at the rim, like, not really many guards I think I've ever, without the athleticism of guys like
you remember
Russ.
The first game of the season, he dropped, like, 55, almost hit the game winner. His handle, his ability to finish with both hands. I really wish him well.
Yeah.
Hopefully his injury goes full circle, just like the earth and the round circle that it is. Can we really quickly, man, in honor, Dwayne Wade had his jersey retired last week. Can we do a little Dwayne Wade slander? Is that okay?
Oh, definitely. What do you think of the dunk contest?
Of all, Dude!
He ruined it!
Oh my god. So, the funniest moment, they kind of all had an agreement. It was gonna, and then they all look over, and he's right at the end. And of course, it's his Miami comrade.
Yeah.
Man, how... This guy, you dunk over Taco Fall. Well, if that's a 47, what do you have to do to get a 50? You have to dunk over the CN Tower?
Yeah, like seriously, what's going on, man? We got to bring Yao Ming's big head out here?
No, that was disgusting. But Derek Jones Jr., he did the same dunk.
Yeah, for
actually, though, I'm so tired of it, man.
The only one that was cool is when he bounced it off of the backboard and then caught it. But even then.
Yeah. Was that as cool as Markelle Fultz bouncing on the side of the backboard?
No, that was
Aaron
the best
Gordon
dunk.
360 spin, like with one hand.
I really do believe there should be like a commissioner's call where Adam Silver's like, that's the best dunk, like it's over. Because you can't expect these guys to have 6-7 dunks prepared.
No, I think Aaron Gordon has had 10-50 dunks.
Yeah, it's 8, but still.
It's 8?
Yeah, 8-50s.
In the two dunk
contests? In the two dunk contests.
Only 8, wow, okay.
But
still 8, we're talking about 8 50s,
no,
bro.
In 16, they had sudden death, so maybe more than 8.
Yeah, it's just the sudden death stuff, it's like it's BS.
Yeah,
it should be at most one more dunk, and then you just decide who had the best dunk in sudden death.
Yeah, but Dwayne Weisslander?
Yeah, for GV, that's the tip of the iceberg, man. First of all, the 2006 finals, this like third year Dwayne Wade, they gave him like 17 free throws a game. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how much money they were giving. I don't know if Tim Donaghy's boys were working on it, but Dallas got screwed heavy, man. They were giving Dwayne Wade respect like his prime Michael Jordan. It was disgusting. It was one of the worst displays I've ever seen. Mm. And man, he was just a dirty player. Just a dirt, like, he was, he
broke Rondo's arm.
James Harden could walk, man. He would put his knee into your chest and call a blocking foul. It was garbage. Mm.
Yeah, I agree for the most part, but there are things about Dwayne Wade that I think, I don't know, I always really liked his personality. I think that on the court, yeah, the fact that he was always dogging the refs got old quickly, but I don't know. The things that I love to watch Dwayne Wade lose, I never really enjoyed watching him win, but I was always glad that he was made a great foil. He made a really good like character in the league. And him and LeBron being like...
That was an iconic duo.
It was good fun.
But
I'm very like mixed emotions towards him. Obviously, had a great career, accomplished a lot, but he had moments where it was easy to hate him.
Yeah,
oh, for
super.
Sure.
Just like Paul Pierce is someone that
he
I'll never
is
like.
Paul Pierce-y, you know, in many ways, but
super strong. Like I'll never really like Paul Pierce, but
I'll never like Paul Pierce.
But I have.
I think Paul Pierce was more hateable for his post playing career, his media.
Yeah,
he's so good. Him and Ryan Hollins.
That's
Holland's
easy,
last year,
man. That's me.
Oh, that's easy. He's a wing guy.
Though my favorite part about Dwayne Wade is his last game in Toronto, where Kawhi Leonard in overtime just said, "You're not going to the playoffs, old man. It's over." That was one of the best games of last season when the Raptors functionally eliminated the Miami Heat.
That was great. That was also great when the Raptors beat the Heat, so Dwayne Wade never got to play against LeBron.
Yeah, that was great.
People were dying for it, and then Kyle Lowry was like, "Here's 35 for your head."
Yeah, what a wonderful time.
Yeah.
So why did you guys switch to Monday? Production staff wanted to enjoy their Friday, or what?
Yeah, we're gonna have to call you back, Vitaly.
All right, Vitaly. Have a good one. Thanks for calling in.
Cheers.
Be good.
Bye.
Peace. I think we just wanted to showcase the show. Like, Friday nights are people are going out.
It's harder to get views on Fridays.
Yeah,
and you have more. You have more life. On Mondays. That's really why.
I think the show got to the place where it being featured made sense.
Sure. Yeah.
And I hope that you guys are all telling your friends,
Yeah, seriously, grow the show.
Tell your boss. Tell your.
Maybe not tell your boss that you're watching this.
But you're at home. It's 6 p.m.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. I guess not everyone works at 6.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But if you are watching and you're at work, just don't tell your boss, but keep watching.
Mm. All right. Another call?
Yeah, on line one, we have Ryan in Toronto. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, thanks for having this at 6 so I can call in.
Oh, perfect. See, this is why we changed it.
For my question, a lot of sports fans like me like both the Leafs and the Raptors, and they watched the Raptors win by 46 on Sunday while the Leafs lost to a literal Zamboni driver.
Their own Zamboni driver. They paid someone to beat them.
42-year-old Zamboni driver, yeah.
Yep.
And just the difference in compete level during the regular season between those two teams is insane to me. And I was just wondering, because the Raptors seem to play so close to their ceiling for the whole season, how do you think that could impact them in the playoffs? Is it possible they could peter out? Or the fact that they're so good at being at that level for so long could help them in the playoffs?
I mean, it could go either way, to be honest. I think what I do like to see is that their intensity at every single game is already a playoff level intensity.
Yeah.
And, you know, really the only downside of that is maybe you wear some guys out and you lose a couple guys due to injury because you're defending so hard. But I mean, like, for the most part, I think it's fine. Really, when you see teams dropping off in the playoffs, it's not even so much choking or anything like that. It's kind of an easy narrative. It's really just usually bad matchups.
Bad matchups and injuries. Like,
yeah.
Not looking at what's happening to the 76ers, they are kind of set up to be a first-round exit. And I don't know, besides Brett Brown, who you point fingers at, because Joel Embiid's been in and out with injury. Ben Simmons looked like he will be, like, we don't know the details, but if he comes back, who knows? The Raptors right now, I'm not really worried about them being consistently at their ceiling, because the Raptors are consistently proving it's not one guy, it's not two guys. It's
yeah. And their ceiling's very damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Their floor is really damn good. I don't think this team can go out and put up a goose egg, because you're going to have three of the seven guys who matter on this team playing well any night.
Yeah.
And if OG, Pascal, and Mark are playing well, you have a pretty good night on your hands.
Ryan, I got to ask you, when the Raptors and Leafs play on the same day, which one are you watching?
Honestly, it depends on who the Raptors play, because the Raptors usually just win.
So. The winning's gotten boring for you?
No, it's not boring. It's just I can engage with it in a different way, like more okay. So on Twitter with the reactions and everything. The Leafs, you don't know what team you're going to get. It's a mixed bag.
You
have to tune in to see if it's worth watching. And a lot of the time you do tune out of the Leafs game if they're putting in a poor effort and put on that Raptors game.
Wow.
I actually have two screens, so I usually pick one to mute.
Wow.
Whoa.
All right.
How many screens do you got at home?
You know, I watch on my VPN.
Yeah,
I'm real.
How hard are you taking the Leafs loss to Steve Ayer?
It's honestly worse than the 4-1 lead against Boston. It's
whoa. Do you mean that seems out of control? I guess it's more humiliating.
It's like one of the most humiliating stories in sports.
What's crazy is the Leafs were. There's a feel-good story circulating the media at the Leafs' expense.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Everyone's just happy for Steve, and it's like,
oh, this is an amazing story.
Yeah, yeah, I'm happy for him, but like, our first two shots on him went in, and then we couldn't muster a game together. Like,
yeah, it is pretty bad. I guess I don't know what to tell you. It does remind me of a great idea that I had. Wouldn't it be cool if in, like, the NBA, if your team was getting blown out, a random person, like, you just pull a name out of the hat,
yeah.
And every basket...
Like, oh, Drake is going to...
Yeah, every basket they score counts for, like, four. So you just have, like, a feat... So, one, the opposing team needs to decide if they're going to defend this random so they can't score.
Okay.
So the rest of the team is able to operate. Or if they just challenge, like, this random who, you know, sometimes you're going to get... a father of four from the suburbs, and the other time you're going to get a, you know, former college basketball player who's going to put up buckets.
Drake would show up to every game if he had a chance to get in.
That's true.
I was going to say, this is basically how Matt Thomas operates. So.
Yeah, Matt Thomas really does have a game like from the Lifetime Fitness in Mississauga.
Yeah. Anyway, Ryan, I apologize for the Leafs, but at least you got the Raptors.
Yeah, they treat you good.
The Raptors make up for all of it. I'm glad theirs was on Sunday.
Yeah, there you go.
Hell yeah. All right, have a good one.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Peace. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, honestly, you know, it's a great thing because I don't even like talking about the Leafs. Especially because people like to compare Raptors to Leafs all the time. I'm like, you know, whatever. Nobody was doing that when the Raptors were trash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, you know, it's an incredible story.
I wonder what the, like... What most Torontonians, if they had tickets for one of the two teams, which they would prefer to have?
You know, hockey's real cold.
It's cold in the arena.
But it is really fun to watch live. I've only seen one game live. But.
Hockey in the arena is amazing. I've only gone to one game, too. Me and my dad went to go see the Leafs play the, I want to say the New York Rangers in 2003.
Mm.
And he got the tickets from like a colleague at work, and they were crazy good, like row seven seats.
Wow.
And it was like a crazy game. It was like 6-5, high scoring, mm-hmm. lots of fights. Ty Domi got ejected. It was like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then we're on our way home, and Bob McCown was doing post game on The Fan. And he said, that was the best. That was one of the best hockey games I ever saw. I'm like, I'm done then. Yeah. So this was the best.
Wow.
What am I going to come back for?
Fair enough.
Watch my team lose to a Zamboni player?
Yikes. I mean, I would have loved to be there, to be honest. Anyway, we got a... If I'm thinking this correctly, we got a close friend.
We have a friend of the show?
Yeah.
Dirye from Scarborough. Welcome to the show.
My guys. What's good?
What's up, man?
Happy Monday, boys.
Yo, are you mad that Josh stole your whole look?
I was about to say, Josh, you need to drop a skincare routine. Look, you're glowing today. My God.
Thank you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. Right. I hope you guys are good. You got the turtleneck game strong.
Yeah.
All black everything. I see you.
This is literally the last time I saw you. You had this exact outfit.
Yeah.
You may or may not have had the cap. I don't know.
Yeah. He's a glowed up version of me, so it's all blessed. All love.
The studio lights help, but thank you. Thank you.
It's too nice.
Nivea for men.
Listen, man. I'm taking notes. I'm just not using that Head and Shoulders 2-in-1 anymore. It's all good.
That's what happened? It went from 2-1 to 0-1?
Listen, man. All the money I saved on shampoo, trust.
Okay.
It's true. It's true. That's a line item. For most people, there's a line item, shampoo.
Yeah, well.
Zero for me.
It's low maintenance. It's, mm-hmm. it's a high floor, low ceiling.
But now, I got to pay
there's
for...
there's no line for Jerry.
There's no line.
Oh man! Look, I'm just calling in because, like, on the same lines. Listen,
yeah,
I don't know how you recover from losing to Zamboni drivers. I'm trying to figure out like the NBA equivalent of that.
Yeah,
and the only thing I could think of was it's not even an NBA; it was a college basketball. I think this was a couple years ago. Shout out to Colin Sexton; he's part of this. I remember Alabama played Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. There was only three guys on the court.
Only three? Yeah, their whole bench got ejected.
Yeah. There was a fight or some shit.
They had a fight. They had four guys. They were down to four. The third guy went down with an injury, so they had three dudes. Colin Sexton scored like 40 points.
Yeah.
And they almost won. Like, they it was legitimately like a 3-point game with like 2 minutes to go.
Yep.
And like I don't even, but like again in the NBA, I remember years ago, I think it was like Chris Kaman Lakers era where
he laid on the bench.
But
he took a nap.
But I don't even know. Like, listen, losing by 45 and having Matt Thomas score 17 might be close.
Hey man, 46.
I think the equivalent is
like you're right. You're right.
I'm gonna be Nick Nurse on that. I'm gonna throw the challenge flag.
Yeah, if you guys can think of like a scenario in the NBA, it might be like the equivalent of that, real or imagined. Like, that's all I got right now.
You know, honestly, not even in a game, but when Kevin Hart beat Draymond Green in that 3-point contest.
Yes! I think if you look back, they kind of messed up the scoring on purpose. They had rigged it because...
Oh, yeah, because they had the trophy.
Yeah, Kevin Hart definitely beat him.
Yeah.
They just ignored his last shot like, oh, no, it was too late, even though he... That was like peak backpack shooting Draymond.
Yeah. That or the expansion Raptors being one of the 10 losses that
the
Chicago Bulls,
and 10 Bulls had
suffered. But even still, like, we're talking about professionals against professionals. Like, a 42-year-old guy who had like dialysis, and he just came in and he gave him.
He was on the payroll.
Yeah.
He was on the payroll. They had a dude that's like, all right, Ben, we're going to put this guy in who's on our payroll.
Yeah.
And we're going to lose.
Yo, that's honestly, if like the Indiana Pacers yesterday had Herbie Kuhn, he put like 80 on the Raptors.
Like Herbie Kuhn, like the bastion of professionalism, who's seen everything, as outwardly laughing over the PA.
Yo,
that was crazy. Talk.
That was incredible.
See, if I'm in any of the holidays, I got to run up on him.
He said, Hollis Jefferson for the lamp. I'm dying.
Yeah, that's really, really quite disrespectful. And Herbie Kuhn's such a respectful guy because he's always pronouncing the living shit out of people's names.
Dario Saric.
I wanted to ask you, what was the most surprising Herbie Kuhn pronunciation of a player's name?
Oh, man. He really went hard on Hito Turkoglu.
Oh,
like,
God.
He was hitting all the emphases. Like, it was kind of like, it was unnecessary for that dude.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like, he gets Serge Ibaka's name on point every single time.
Ibaka!
I don't even know if Serge pronounces it that way.
My favorite one was the 2015 Atlanta Hawks, because it's four regular names. It's like Kyle Korver, Damari Carroll, and he's like, Dennis Schroeder! What's going on? Because he's just like...
No, he loves Schroeder. Schroeder's his favorite one.
There is always a couple names that are unique.
Exactly.
It's when he just said, like, Kyle Korver. And then
the
Raptors
are like a set of everything bagels, right? And then the Atlanta Hawks pulled up as four plain bagels and then one onion bagel. Like,
exactly.
Listen, we got our best life here. Lot's on point.
That's exactly what I how I felt. Do you have an answer? Most unique name pronunciation from Herbie Kuhn?
Schroeder is definitely the all-time one.
Schroeder.
He called him Sade, like he's the smooth operator. The earlier this year on the Dallas Mavericks, they had Ryan Brokaw, which is a regular name.
Yeah.
Like an anglicized, like, you know what I mean? You know, just name. And he went, Ryan Brokaw. And I was like, man, why?
He's adding incredible. He's putting in his
Duolingo needs to he needs a Duolingo sponsorship right now.
That's facts.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing.
Like adding syllables to names that don't have those syllables is truly an art form. I respect it.
Bro, he sounds like me in grade 9 French, man.
I wouldn't
listen. I'm like, I don't know what that means.
I mean, it's like
what's in a Greg?
Kanye West made the word diamonds four syllables, so like, I still think that's a ceiling.
Oh my god.
So I don't know if he's like on Kanye pronouncing diamonds with four syllables level, but he's working hard to get there.
No, man. Respect Herbie, man. Day one legend.
A1 since day one, man.
Day one. Yeah,
that's facts. All right.
All right, dearie.
Thanks for calling in.
Much love, guys.
Right. Have a cool beef.
Peace.
Denny Schroeder.
Yo, the Schroeder one kills me every time, man.
But, like, why?
I think Herbie might be
Paul German. Millsap. And then, maybe. Herbie Kuhn sounds...
Yeah.
Herbert Kuhn?
Yeah, and there's that umlaut.
Denny.
I want to see him do, like, EPL games, man. Like, he would have a time. He would have a ball.
No, he just needs to, the future the Dallas Mavericks want. Next time they're in town.
Oh, my God. Yeah, actually, though.
Let's take a call from Adnan in Richmond Hill. Adnan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great, how are you?
Good, not too bad. Honestly, shout out to both of you. I love your podcast.
Oh, thanks.
And I've been loving the show.
Thank you.
Just the timing on the Fridays has been a bit harder because of my lunch just never coincided with the podcast. This time I get to drive home and listen to you guys.
Oh, perfect. Awesome. Perfect. We did it for you.
My only worry was about Vitaly, man. I was just hoping that he would be on the podcast because, he's calling from Moscow. I didn't want it to be too late for him,
Yeah, what's the time in Moscow right now? I'm going to look it up
It's
going to
be so late.
Yeah, but anyway, what was your question, man?
It was actually about Fred VanVleet. He's been playing really nice.
It's 2:30 a.m. right now. Yo, salute Vitaly for calling at 2:30 a.m.
All right, sorry.
Anyway, sorry, what were you saying?
No, that's fine. Fred VanVleet, he's been awesome. He's been playing really well.
Yep.
But what would you say is his price tag? Like, what would be the max that the Raptors would actually pay for him? Or what would be worth it to keep Fred VanVleet in? Because you're obviously not going to pay him a lot of money, especially when you're looking to get Giannis in the year after, right?
I think you got to have an infrastructure in place when Giannis comes.
Yep.
And I think Fred should be part of the infrastructure. Obviously, if we're talking like someone's throwing the max at him randomly, which I do not anticipate, then maybe you got to let him go. But I really do think the Raptors are going to make sure they retain him. I think it's probably going to be like 2022 in that area. Yeah. Zach Lowe was asked about this in his recent one of his recent Low Post podcasts, and he said 15 to 18, which just surprised me. It seemed real low, but I don't know. It was kind of also a passing comment, so I wasn't sure if he gave that like a lot of thought. But if that is lower than what we've been describing here in Toronto, and of course, we would obviously know how valuable Fred is because we see him night in and night out, ball out. But, I think 2022. And I think Fred would be pretty happy with that, to be honest. If it's a difference between, like, you get 24 to go to Cleveland or 24 to go to Detroit or you got 22 to stay in Toronto, like,
Yeah, no,
the marginal value just doesn't add up there.
I think that's a good number. Yeah. I think there was worry that it could be north of 25 at the beginning of the season when he – came out playing like his head
he's
on fire.
He's not playing any worse now. He's playing the same level, I think. Like, for the season, he's averaging like 18 and 7, shooting like 40% from three. It's pretty damn good. Fred right now is averaging 17.7 points, 6.7 assists, 1.9 steals, shooting 39% from three on 7 attempts per game.
What's he shooting from two? Because he started the year so badly from two.
You know, on two, that's not his specialty, 43%.
That's good, because he was like
shockingly low.
He was 34 at the beginning of the season. It was like something alarmingly bad. Him and Marc Gasol started out the season not with any, with no ability to finish at the rim.
Yeah.
Marc Gasol's turned it around. Clearly the rest has helped him, but yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho. Thanks, Adnan, for calling in. Go ahead.
No, yeah, just my only last comment was, like, I think there should be a stipulation for Fred.
Mm.
As long as he keeps having kids, I think Toronto's going to get.
Jeez.
That's nuts. It's sound.
That is correct.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Level up.
All right, thank you so much, Robin.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Peace.
All right, take care, guys.
Bye.
One thing I found out today
that
really shocked me. Terrence Davis is a father.
Salute to him.
Yeah.
Is it TD3?
I guess there is a TD3. This is surprising. Yeah, I read about it on there was an interview with Hoops Hype. And he talked about, being a father and stuff. And I was just surprised. I was like, wow.
Especially.
He just seems so young and precocious.
A lot of the kids are around the team. But salute to him.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Born 6 days before the draft.
Whoa.
And then even as a father, he was like, I'm good. Don't draft me in the second round. I'll go to the summer league. I'll go to the G League. Elite Showcase, camp or whatever, all these other stuff, and you know.
No, this guy, like, TD2 is going to be a well taken care of player.
He's awesome. Amazing. Yeah, he's really good. I was just surprised. I don't know. He just always came across as, like, really understated and really young, but.
And a lot of the guys' kids are around the team, but.
That's true.
I mean, he probably. I don't know if he has his family up here. It's a big move.
Yeah.
We have a question in the YouTube comments I wanted to ask. Okay. Since Milwaukee is playing tonight, what are the odds that Giannis doesn't play tomorrow? I asked that because...
Oh, man.
Well,
Nick Nurse's
presser where he was asked if they'd see anything unique, and he was like, no. It seems as though both teams have circled each other on the calendar and are not trying to show too much. The Raptors don't have a chance at catching...
What are the Bucks not going to show the Raptors? They have the same players as last year.
Their new wrestling moves?
I think that's why he's not going to play.
Yeah, I don't know. I was curious. Do you think Giannis plays tomorrow?
Yes.
Do you think he plays?
Because Giannis is a player that has a lot of pride. And, you know, you want to show that the team that you lost to last year, you want to show that you're not trying to avoid them. So I think he plays. Unless, if he doesn't play, it's a team decision to, like, hold him out for some sort of load management kind of schedule. But, I mean, he seems healthy and. You know, why not play?
Is tomorrow Greek Heritage Night for the Raptors?
It's hard to know these things in advance. I was surprised the other day after this Phoenix game that it was Croatian Heritage Night. Because Dario Saric was in town, and that was cool. There was like a whole bunch of Croatian fans at the wedding. I mean,
when Richview Collegiate?
What's that?
Did it look like Richview CI?
Yeah, it did actually. I was Ben's in there nodding because he knows. He knows the vibes. Him and Stephen Harper, same school.
Same school. Stephen Harper. That's true. And the Fords went to Scarlett, so.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Scarlett Heights, man. Scarlett Heights Institution of Technology.
Entrepreneurial Institution of Technology. No,
it's still SHIT for him. Yeah, that's really their official.
That was their
slogan.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this bus game is very interesting, though, because I don't know if you want to hide that much. I mean, because first off, they play another two times after this. So you're going to hide. You're just going to throw away all three of these games? It seems a little implausible to me. I think you want to see some things do work or not. Like, I want to see more of OG on Giannis. We saw a little bit last time the Raptors played. Obviously, this is way, way back when, like, second week of the season. They played in November, and the Raptors lost by 10 on the road.
Yep.
In that game, they started with Pascal guarding Giannis, and Pascal picked up two quick fouls. The Raptors were down 12-1. Like some Indiana Pacer behavior, and you know, they fought back, unlike the Pacers. But, like, you know, that game was very strange because, again, you have Pascal as your number one guy, and he picks up two quick fouls trying to guard Giannis. It doesn't quite make sense for him to do it. It makes more sense for OG to do it. OG has more strength. OG is just physically built more similar to Giannis than Pascal, who's a little more wiry. But yeah, I want to see if OG can guard Giannis, and you know, it's also hard to hide things because, like, I mean, you're already hiding things. You don't have Norm and you don't have Mark for the game. Like, that's big time. Like, Norm is really, really important against the Bucks, obviously, as we know, in terms of with his scoring. But also, Mark is really important because he is such a good help defender and he's a huge body and a physical presence. that, you know, you need against a guy like Brook Lopez and you need against a guy like Giannis. So I don't really see the point in hiding anything. I just think they should go and try to win the game.
I'm curious to see what the Raptors will do with the second body that they throw at Giannis. Because a team like it has to be Kyle, but then I don't like the cross match as much as I'd like if Fred was fading Wes Matthews.
I was going to say, who's guarding who?
I imagine it would be Kyle on Bledsoe, Fred on Matthews, basically to hide Fred. And then OG on Giannis.
Why you got to hide Fred, though? I would say Fred is probably a better matchup for Bledsoe.
You think so, eh?
Yeah. But, I mean, it depends on who you want
Kyle
as a help.
But do you want... I would rather see Kyle help. Fred help.
Okay, fine.
So I mean to hide Fred from being the primary help defender on Giannis.
Okay. Because
I think Giannis on Fred is food. Not to be rude to Fred, but that's...
Sure, but I mean, Kyle on Giannis.
But Kyle's a little... Kyle's a little thicker, and he's less likely to get back down as easily as Fred is. Okay. And he's a bit craftier. Like,
I mean, I was just saying, Fred put up a real resistance. There are actually a couple of clips out there from last year's
playoffs.
Kyle
or Fred?
No, I think Fred will still put up some resistance.
I agree Fred will put up some resistance. I don't think he's... to say he's food is an exaggeration.
Come on, man. There's real clips out there of Giannis going one-on-one against Fred and not
but scoring. Who do you want to be the primary help defender, Kyle or Fred?
Generally speaking, I want Kyle as a help defender. Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, you know, you can also move it differently because we've seen Pascal guard Bledsoe as well. And then you can make Pascal the help defender and Pascal's a little bit bigger.
Yep.
But, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think Nick actually just plays it straight up. I don't think there's any sort of chess match going on. I think they should just go and try to win the game. And I hope Giannis plays. And I hope we see the best of these two teams try to go against each other. And then they can adjust going forward. But, you know.
No, it's a good... It'll be interesting to see what Fred... Coach Nick Nurse decides to do with, I think everybody's interested in seeing what will the Raptors do to try to contain.
Yeah,
Giannis. There's no other point in watching that game other than to see what the Raptors do to try to slow him down.
Yeah,
and to see if they can shoot over that drop scheme. But I'm not that interested. I believe they can.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, on line two.
Yeah,
we have Saeed in Toronto. Saeed, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm good. I just want to start off by saying I love your podcast. I listen to it all the time. It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, so my question was, I mean, I know you guys talk about the Raptors all the time, and like the other outlets in Canada do, but how come the American media doesn't really talk about the Raptors as much as we do, even though, like, I know, what do we need to do to get their attention?
I mean, I think we have their attention, to be honest. I think Raptors got talked about a fair amount of times relative to the previous seasons. I mean, no one's ever going to talk about the Raptors more than we talk about the Raptors because, like, we're here and we're a local market. But I actually think that this year the American press has done a pretty good job of just not even necessarily – they're not going above and beyond to hype the Raptors like they would. You know, there's a clear agenda to, like, talk more about the Lakers, talk more about the Clippers, talk more about Boston, talk more about Philly, maybe even talk more about Houston. But, like – you know, there's tiers, and I think the Raptors are in that second tier, and it's fine. I mean, like, if I were anything, I'd be more upset as a Milwaukee Bucks fan because, we win every single game, and we never get talked about except for when Giannis might potentially leave, and it sucks. You know what I mean? So I actually think they're actually doing okay. There's been a lot of American guys, like, you know, Perk, you know, Zach Lowe, you know, Tim Bontemps. Like, there's a lot of people that talk about the Raptors, so. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think that the American media's coverage will be determined by how close the Raptors are to the top of the standings. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think that, I don't know, I watch The Jump every couple days, and Rachel Nichols is talking about the Raptors.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how we feel. Thanks, Saeed, for calling. Have a good one. Cheers. Bye. Cool. We have Divroop from London. Divroop, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How about you guys?
We're good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the show. Will, you're great. You're really responsive on social media. You have an amazing voice for the podcast.
Oh,
Josh,
thank you.
Do a great job, too.
Thanks.
So you guys are...
Josh does a great job, too.
No, Will's the one. You know,
say two nice things about Josh right now, please.
Will's the guy.
I have to admit, I do listen to Will a lot more.
Will's the guy. I know. Will's the guy.
Yeah. No, I'm a fan of you, too.
Yep. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, yeah, my first question... I have a couple. So, like, my first question is, how do you guys think the Raptors are portrayed in the media, especially in the American media?
Okay. I mean, we just answered this on the last call, so the time is
really?
Yeah, but it's okay. I mean, I think I think they're actually getting the proper amount of coverage this year. I really do think that being champions really did shift that. I know we like to talk about it. We like to focus on it. Yeah, sometimes they make silly things like, you know, NBA TV's preseason playoff prediction for the Eastern Conference.
Come on.
The Raptors are eighth and slash out of the playoffs, and that's hilarious to look back on. But I think for the most part, like, since winning the championship, they've gotten a lot more respect. And I think, honestly, that's kind of how it works, right? Like, if you actually do something, then people actually start respecting you. There's just not an unnecessary agenda. Because here's the thing. The Raptors aren't on ESPN much because ESPN does not get local ratings from Toronto.
Yep.
Because they're in a different country. And then ESPN, on the talking shows, their responsibility is not just to cover the league. But they have a clear bias in the sense that they want to pump up the games that they're going to be showing and broadcasting in the product. And so if the Raptors are not on ESPN to begin with, then, you know, they just have just naturally less incentive. But...
And what you get to do is you get to watch shows like the one that you're watching now, promote it amongst your friends, and then we become the media. And we're never going to stop talking about the Raptors.
Actually, though, I talk about them 7 days a week.
Yeah, that's true.
Twice on Sundays.
Yeah, so I also kind of wanted to follow up with that. Like, what's it like working on the Canadian side of the media, and how do you sort of... compare that to the American side? Like, do you see, like, any other American reporters, worked with them? Like, what's it kind of like?
I'm still relatively new to this, so I haven't actually worked with that many people from the States in terms of the beats and stuff like that, so I can't really compare. But it's cool. Like, you know, there's a clear mandate to cover the Raptors here, so.
But I think the Raptors have been an interesting enough story for the last 10 years, pretty much, that there's coverage from, I don't know, Zach Lowe is a basketball writer that many people listen to the show.
He's basically an honorary Torontonian, man.
Yeah, I know.
He comes here all the time.
But he's covered, like, watched this team pretty seriously, and he's name-checked you. So you're part of that. You're part of the media elite.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Anywho.
Yeah, true. So, yeah, my second question, you guys kind of touched on the whole, like, the respect thing. So my second question focuses on, like, the respect of the Raptors, because I still think the Raptors don't get nearly as much respect that they deserve, because a lot of people sort of discounted the Raps entirely after Kawhi left, right? Mm-hmm. And no one could have even foreseen, like, the success that they're having right now.
Yeah.
And I still see, like, it's still quieter on the American media, but what you said earlier, like, made a lot of sense. Like, there's a couple of things that I just noticed personally. Like, you know the account House of Highlights on Instagram?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so a couple times I noticed that they would post a Raptors highlight, but it would get taken down, like, almost immediately. Like, I'd send it to one of my friends, and I'd be like, oh, hey, they finally posted the Raptors, because I find that they rarely ever do. Mm-hmm. And... like, 5 minutes later, boom, it's gone. So I found, like, that sort of stuff weird. Like, there was, you know, like, the Patrick McCaw behind the back, like, pass to, I think, I forgot who dunked it, but it was in one of the games. It was, like, a couple of weeks ago. It was Terrence Davis?
Yeah, the Charlotte game, yeah.
Yeah. And that post was, like, immediately deleted, and there was, like a couple other times that posts were deleted like that. I just found that weird, I'm not trying to say that there's some sort of, like, secret agenda and stuff, but it's kind
of
like...
I'm pretty sure House of Highlights is owned by ESPN. Or no.
Oh.
Bleacher Report. And Bleacher Report doesn't have agreements with every, like, Turner, ESPN, Rogers and Bell. They might not have agreements with all of them, so you get a takedown notice because it's breaking the law. Shout out to Omar Raja.
No, it's a great account. I'm not trying to, like, trash him or anything.
Yeah,
like,
I think it has more to do. And they also, like, there's any social media strategists will, like, take down posts if they're not starting to trend, because there's
Alex.
Alex. There's an incentive to, like, have great metrics, and if something isn't achieving great metrics for the reasons that we'll explain, it might not work. But there are lots of reasons. I'm not sure there's a great grand conspiracy orchestrated by Adam Silver to get Masai to New York City.
No. Yeah,
that
no.
was sus when that report came out, man.
That really did shake Will to his core.
Yeah.
It came out on a Friday night, came up, and Will's like, yo, you see this, bro? You see Masai? They want Masai to go to New York. I'm like, oh, it's okay.
He'll be fine. Yeah, and my last final question was just about, like, the referees. Like, I watch the Raptors, and kind of the Raptors only. I don't really watch too many NBA games outside. So I don't know how the officiating is for other teams, right? But
Did you see what Mark Davis did to the Celtics yesterday?
That's not great.
I heard there was some like BS. It was
pretty bad.
Look, man, everyone gets screwed on the Bradley refs. That one's the one that's.
Everybody gets screwed by Mark Davis. True. If Mark Davis is reffing a game that you're watching, don't expect to leave happy.
Yeah, fair. No, like even Kawhi last year, like you rarely see Kawhi get mad at refs or even like complain about calls, right? But I feel like on Toronto, he did that like more frequently than normal. And I just kind of wondered, like, is it a Canadian thing? Like, does the NBA kind of want to push Canadians out of the conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's hard not to feel that way. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Will built his brand feeling that way.
Okay, that's not. I mean,
Will in 2013 on Twitter. Huh? You were furious.
Don't look up the old tweets, man. All right. All right. I appreciate the call, man. Right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no. Thanks, guys, for your time. Yeah.
All right.
See you. Bye.
Thank you for asking him to say something nice about me.
He didn't say anything.
People come in to like, Will, you know, it's so good to finally hear your voice.
And Josh, you exist.
Exactly. That's all right. Black History Month, only, what, 4 more days?
Yeah, come on, man. It's only 29 days this year. Right. Yeah, so there you go. I don't think there's a grand conspiracy to screw the Raptors. I really don't, man.
I don't know.
They won the championship last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're gonna win it again in June.
Yeah.
That's not true. That's true.
It could happen.
That's true.
I'd love for it.
Look forward to it.
Yeah,
we have one last caller. We have Elam in Ottawa calling on line 2. Elam, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Will, how was Mexico City first?
It was amazing. I had a really good time.
You announced that publicly.
Warm, and now it's very cold. Even though it's only it's still 8 degrees today.
It's
like,
warm as 9.
It's not bad. But yeah, it's not 30.
It's not 30, yeah. It just, the temperature change and stuff. So, to start off my question, So when it comes to playoff matchups, what do you think the Raptors' biggest weakness is against every playoff team that we might face? You never know how the fans work, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, do you have any, pre-thoughts about this?
I think, one thing I'm actually kind of comfortable with is the fact that I think the Raptors defensively can handle every single player in the conference. You know what I mean? And I say that in the sense that, obviously before, there was LeBron in the conference. And
LeBron today.
Yeah, year after year, that was a real issue and kind of, simplified and boiled down to that one singular point. Now, when I look at other teams, yes, there are very formidable players. Going against Jimmy Butler is not easy for the Raptors. You know, going against Joel Embiid is a very difficult thing to do when you're trying to score. Jason Tatum has taken a leap this year and he looks really damn good. And obviously Giannis is, a force of nature, but I just kind of feel more comfortable with the Raptors defensively being able to handle all those people. It's really just comes down to, can the Raptors
offense
score? Yeah. Consistently in a half court setting. So
honestly, the last time I called, I talked about OG's offense and at least it's better now. So
there you go.
I'm very happy that I was wrong.
You got to talk more about it. And he, you know what? It's great when he can give you 12 points, but he doesn't hit threes. Because that means he's involved defensively. Yeah. He's cutting.
He's getting
finishing.
Field blocks.
Yeah. And, when he does that, it's game-changing for
the Raptors. It's fun to watch, man. Yeah. But it's also great for the team. So
yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like seeing OG strip a guy at the free throw line and then run it end-to-end.
Yeah. Because him dribbling is, adventurous.
Yeah, at the top of the year, he seemed because of the injuries, he was dribbling way too much. Him and Pat McCaw, dribbling the ball, not my favorite sight.
Who's the least confident dribbler on the team? Somehow Serge is not last anymore, even though Serge was last for a very long time.
Oh, least confident dribbler on the team.
Yeah.
O'Shea?
Oh, yeah. So that's mainly my main question. Also, another quick side question. Mm-hmm. Well, so during the last pod that you had last night, there was this weird long break/pause at the end, and I was just like, what's going on?
Did I edit the podcast wrongly?
Like,
I don't know.
It wasn't a minute long, that's an exaggeration, but it was 40 seconds, and I was just like,
after
the
end of
the
podcast?
One?
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, where's the next podcast?
Oh.
We have a
website host, and it'll autofill and put in ads at certain places, but we don't actually have that on because we are sponsored exclusively by KFC.
Shout out.
And I read those live, so I think sometimes it adds an extra time for when the ad's supposed to be, but that's just speculation on my part.
It's a bonus track that we're dropping at some point.
It's, yeah.
We have to leave it to edit like The Life of Pablo.
Wow. It was the extra amount of slander that Assad gave, but I had to delete.
Yeah, it's just too flagrant. The Ooh, things he had to say about Sabonis.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Jeez.
Also, Josh, you also shouted out Carleton.
Yes.
On your the last time I called. So which university do you find better, Ottawa U or Carleton? Because I kind of need a pick.
Oh, well, it depends on what you're interested in studying.
Wow, what?
But
which one did you go to, man?
I went to Carleton.
Yeah, there you go. Right to school. No, come on.
I don't have anything nice to say about Ottawa U, but if you, okay. You shouldn't base where you go to university based on what I think. I'm doing this.
Where are you going right now?
I'm in high school. Right now,
okay.
I need to pick.
Okay.
Yeah. Carleton was great. I had a really good time. The English and communications departments there are really great. Yeah, I mean, check out Carleton. Go to an information night. Go to a campus visit. I guess you live in Ottawa. You know what it's like. But it's a beautiful campus. Ottawa U is kind of a crummy city, concrete everywhere. So I never really loved that. But
that's fair. Carleton has the best, like, little tunnels. That's all.
Yeah, the tunnels are cool.
About it when I visited when I was younger.
You get to stay warm. But it's also nice to be above ground. It was overrated. Well, I remember when I went there, I'm like, I'm going to be in the tunnels all the time. But I eventually decided I liked to being above ground.
Also, did Vitaly call?
Yeah, Vitaly called, so you can listen back to that once the podcast is posted.
That was like at the second call of the day. So.
Yeah, he was early. Okay, I guess he wanted to go to bed.
I mean, to be fair, it's 2 a.m. in Moscow.
2 a.m. in Moscow, the next Dre single.
Let's go, Dre. Come on.
He needs to sleep to call out the frauds.
Exactly.
So.
Actually, though.
All right, have a great evening. Study. Do
your homework.
Homework.
Do your homework.
Do your homework.
I will try. Yeah. I don't want to do physics, but it's what you have to do.
It's true.
All right.
So thanks for having me, guys. All right. Bye.
Be good. All right. Enjoy. That's pretty wholesome.
Yeah, I really enjoyed school counselor Josh.
All right, we have Stanley suggestions.
We do have Stanley suggestions.
And then we'll send everybody home.
And then we'll get to the YouTube comments, because we always lead that to the very end.
And then
end
we
for
have
no
to,
reason.
To we'll talk about the, we'll preview about tomorrow's game. We'll make our predictions.
Okay. All right. Let's do Stanley suggestions then first.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So, I don't know why, but maybe it's because I'm craving Korean food. Which just happens like every 2 weeks. But Echo Karaoke on Bloor and Christie area-ish, between Christie and Bathurst. Yeah, Echo Karaoke, you know, just a great time. You can book a room, private room, for you and your boys or, you know, whatever, and just go in there and sing songs with... the thing is, they have generic 90s kind of like K-pop drama scenes in the background, so it's always a little weird when you're singing, like, you know, Stick With You, but it's just, you know
what's
BTS
your
is in the background.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Numb Encore, Both Parts.
Encore, Both Parts. I was always I Think We're Alone Now by Tiffany.
Oh my
I
god.
I like that a lot.
Confessions Part 2?
Confessions Part 2, but it's not... Yeah. That song isn't as many places as you think. Because I always look up Usher and it's Yeah. And I'm not trying to sing Yeah.
Okay, come on, man. Usher's got too many hits for just only to be Yeah.
Yeah's not even fun to sing. I've seen You Remind Me and I remember being into that.
My Boo?
My Boo, a classic.
Take your boo to go sing My Boo.
That's
my Stanley suggestion, is Stanley, go take your boo to sing My Boo.
A true romantic.
And then afterwards you can go to Korean barbecue at Mapo Korean.
That sounds like a great suggestion.
Great
spot. For this week, Stanley, I hope you checked out Tory Lanez and enjoyed it.
Okay.
Hammer's Coffee on Dundas and Manning in Little Portugal, Little Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I went there this weekend. Really great coffee. Got a cup from Quietly Roaster. It was really good. And it was a new coffee shop that I like, and it was a nice trip.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, so I recommend that for Stanley this week.
Toronto does have elite coffee shops.
Elite coffee shops.
Okay. Let's get to a couple of comments here.
Okay, from Jurassic Mark. I suggest Stanley take on Zamboni training. A late addition to Stanley's suggestions. I like it.
Yikes. hey, man, Stanley was decent yesterday.
MVP chance.
Nick Nurse even said nice things about Stanley.
It's true.
Yeah. First time all season. It only took until game, like, 60.
Guy Green, Masai to New York City versus Giannis to Raptors. Which is more likely to happen?
Giannis to Raptors?
Yeah, it's got
to
be more likely.
I don't think Masai's going to New York, but, you know, doesn't. I still get stressed because the uncertainty. Yo, MLSE, man. Stop messing around. Give him that extension. Give him whatever he wants. Even a new BlackBerry, anything.
Dave Lamp. We lost... Oh, if we lost Serge in free agency, do you think the Raptors' brotherhood will still be the same without his heart bringing the team closer? That's a good question.
Serge is a very popular guy in the locker room.
Yep.
He speaks to the older guys. He speaks to the younger guys.
In everyone's preferred language.
He speaks all the languages, every single one. He has a great YouTube presence. Yeah, I don't know. It would be a big loss for the locker room. But it seems like honestly, all the guys have pretty good camaraderie, regardless.
Yeah, I think as long as the plurality of Raptors players were part of this championship run, mm-hmm. the brotherhood will be intact. It's when, you know, eventually Kyle and Norm and OG all move on themselves, then you'll start to see things potentially be different. But like I at the beginning of the season sort of assumed that Serge leaving was a foregone conclusion. I now want him to stay.
Yeah.
Pain
causing samurai. What has the Raptors' process of building a team over the last few years versus the Sixers' process? So I guess the Raptors' process or the Sixers' process. Well, the Sixers' process is three different things, because they've had Sam Hinkie, who had a clear plan, and then they had Brian Colangelo, who had his kind of plan. And
he put you on collars, though.
No, man. No, no collars. Look at this. Mandarin collar, baby.
OG put you on scars.
$29.99.
Colangelo put you on collars.
Nah, no collars. This is a no Brian Colangelo show. And then now they have Elton Brand, who I don't know what Elton Brand's strategy is, man. He's been a very unpredictable man.
Yeah. Him and Pete Buttigieg have just as much planning done.
Wow.
That's a joke for my political followers.
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors' plan has been scout well,
yep.
develop well,
yep.
and have a culture of winning, so that when these players come in, you can make the most of these guys. Like, you know, one thing you can't say about most teams is that when guys come in, when prospects come in, do you get the most out of them? Do the players meet their potential there, or do they go on to another situation to meet their potential, or are they just out of the league? All of the Raptors players that they bring in, like in terms of younger guys,
yep.
they get better, and you get the most out of those guys. And even when they move on, they stick around in the league. Well, that's one of the things that used to be with the Raptors. Is a lot of players came to Toronto, and their career died here.
Yep.
There's a long, long list of that. Nowadays, there's tons of former Raptors everywhere. Every game you look at, you're like, oh, there's Corey Joseph with the Kings. Or like, oh, yeah, man, there's true. DeLon Wright, you know, as the sixth man for, well, I guess the seventh man, because Tim Hardaway Jr. is the sixth man, you know, for Dallas. And, you know, you see just... the whole Spurs team. And, you know...
DeMar did get bought out.
The Clippers.
Yep.
With Lou Will.
With
Pat Patterson.
Pat Patterson. Kawhi, even.
Yeah.
Kawhi's having a career year, statistically.
Well, he's had to.
Yeah.
The rest of that team's not doing anything.
Rough stuff. All right.
Paul George never plays basketball anymore, so...
That's true, man. He should go fishing.
He probably is fishing right now.
Let's preview tomorrow's game.
One ways than one. Yeah.
What do you think will happen tomorrow?
I think it'll be a very, very competitive game, but I do think the Bucks might take this one, only in the sense that the Raptors aren't full strength, man. You don't have Marc Gasol. Marc is very big because, you know, even Norm, obviously Norm has had a great history
we'll
against
get
the
to
Bucks.
Norm.
But Marc Gasol was really, really important in that series. Not only did he outplay Brook Lopez, which is pretty important. Brook is a very important player for the Bucks, but Giannis himself said it, you know, every single day in the offseason, he was waking up and he was seeing double teams from two defensive players of the year, Kawhi yeah. and Marc Gasol. Marc is a huge body, he's a big body,
yeah.
and you need a lot of heft and strength to stop Giannis at the rim to even put up a resistance, and Marc is really important to these things. And also, Marc is just a guy who organizes the defense really well. Like, Serge is a really good defender in his own right, but if you notice, the Raptors play a lot more zone defense, a lot more triangle mm-hmm. and two boxes in one. A lot of that is enabled by a guy like Marc, who's such a high IQ player, who's such a great communicator in the back. Not saying Serge is not that level, but
he's not at that level.
It's just
you're a defensive player of the year. Like, you can
defensive player, like an actual defensive player of the year winner. And yeah. so not having that presence does really concern me. I mean, could the Raptors win? Yeah, of course. The Raptors, like, they beat every single team. It's crazy. But the Bucks are very formidable this year. I think obviously the key will be sustaining that first punch. The Bucks are very much a team that jumps all over you at first. We saw that happen to the Raptors when the Raptors played them earlier in November, when they fell down 12-1 and they had to climb back out of a 20-point deficit, and Kyle played amazing.
Yep.
But, you know, I think the Raptors know what they got to do to beat the Bucks. You know, even this new version of the team, they have the idea. It's just whether they have the manpower to do it, and, you know.
I think the Raptors can pull it off tomorrow, principally because they'll be coming off with rest and the Milwaukee Bucks are in Washington tonight. I know that probably won't be a very competitive game.
How many points do you think they're going to score? 130?
I think Bradley Beal's going to go for 70, and they're going to still lose.
Yeah.
I think the Milwaukee Bucks will come in a little bit tired. I think that will affect Giannis the least, but Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton, it's a second night of back-to-back. That stuff matters. I think the Raptors have a good chance at winning. Do you want to do scores?
I would say Raptors, man, I guess I technically took the Bucks, though. Maybe Bucks 105, Raptors 99.
I have Raptors winning 114 to Bucks 106.
Okay, cool. I much prefer your score.
Me too. So. All right, well, we hope you guys enjoyed the show, and thank you for following us to this new time. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool to hear people call in and say, thanks for moving it, me, because I can call in. I will be back next Monday. Will will be doing the reaction show all week.
And I got a special guest for Watch Run It Back as well. I got a special guest for the on the weekly podcast this week.
Do you want to give a hint?
He's a famous YouTuber.
Whoa, he's got FoozyTube coming to the show.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Have a good week, everybody.
Shout out KFC.
Shout out KFC one time.
And catch you next Monday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.